We are going to continue today in this series that we're calling Gospel Paradox, right? And so, again, while I was on sabbatical, the Lord kept sort of challenging me with these ideas that that seem to be sort of opposite from each other, seem to be going kind of in different directions. And so I just figured if God is going to challenge me with all this stuff, like I'm going to challenge you with all this as well, and then we can just figure it all out together and everything. So the last couple of weeks, we looked at both having, both loving deeply, so like holding tightly to people in loving, like in ways that are not usual, right? In ways that the world would not love others. But then also coming before God with open hands and sort of holding loosely to the things that God either would want in our lives or not want in our lives. And so we kind of wrestled with that paradox over the last couple of weeks. Today, we are going to look at how we need to slow ourselves down in some different ways. And then next week, we're going to look at how we need to speed ourselves up, right? So today is all about going slow. Next week is about going fast. And yes, it seems like that's opposite. Like, how can we go fast and slow at the same time? I don't know either, but we're going to figure it out, right? There's some things I believe that God is showing us in his word that today we're going to be able to focus on how we can slow down enough to hear from him and be sensitive to what he's leading us into. And then next week we'll talk about how we need to be quick about pursuing those things as well. And so I'll try not to preach next week's sermon today, but it's important that we learn how to slow down. Boyce has diagnosed me with hurry sickness, right? I think he actually got this from a John Ortberg book that he had read. And for him, the way that you know if you have hurry sickness or not, and this is going to be great because as soon as I say this, like everyone's going to know who is and who isn't, right? You're all going to look at each other, and it's either going to be you or it's going to be the person next to you. Watch this. So when you come up to a traffic light, you are already evaluating which lane is going to be the best lane to be in. Right? Okay, there we go. But it doesn't stop there, because then what you do is once the light turns green, you pay attention to every lane there is to see if you pick the right lane. Right? I do this every single time I'm at a traffic light. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm not even ashamed about it. Like, for me, I'm just trying to be as efficient. That's my wife's favorite word. I'm trying to be as efficient as possible with this, right? And so if I can pick the right lane and save 5 seconds, that's amazing, right? Because you think about it, you add 5 seconds up over every traffic light you're at. That's like a whole year of your life in Houston, right? And so, like, I'm trying to be a good steward of my time, right? You see how I spiritualized that there? It was really good. I do that. Or, like, even at the grocery store, if you still go to the grocery store, maybe you'll pick which line you're going to go in, and then you watch the other lines to see, like, if your line was actually the fastest or not. We do these crazy things, and I recognize, like, I am as bad as anybody else. Even, like, let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room here. I have something growing out of my forehead here that I think it's a spider bite or something, right? Many have heard the story that Beth just caught me with a hammer a couple of times. Like, she's neither confirming or denying that story, but I've talked to a couple of people should you go to urgent care about that? Nah, I'm too busy for urgent care. Like, what am I going to do, right? I'm going to sit there for like half a day, right? They're going to tell me, like, put some ointment on there. I don't know, whatever, right? I'm too busy for that, right? I got stuff to do. I had meetings like on all day Friday and Saturday. I got to be here for worship this morning. Like, I got stuff to do, right? Like, I got to download a sermon to preach on Sunday. Just kidding. I don't do that. For real though, like, I've got stuff to do. I don't have time to go sit in an urgent care somewhere to figure out what is growing inside my forehead right now, right? When the reality is, like, maybe it's not the worst idea to slow down enough to figure out what is growing that maybe shouldn't be, right? And praise God for my nurse wife, who is so patient and kind. And amen. She's good to me. She's taking care of me. And when I asked her if she thought it was monkeypox, she shot it down right away, right? So no worries there or anything. But I do like slowing down is something that I struggle with, and I know that like in our culture, like I think that's something that a lot of us maybe struggle with, and I'm kind of guessing by the smiles on your faces, like that's probably something maybe you struggle with a little bit as well. And so we're going to look today at how we can maybe slow down and how that can be a tremendous benefit in our lives. But before we jump into the scripture here, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your presence corporately once again. God, we know that you are with us at all times and all places. But there's something special about being together with your people and hearing your word. God, we know that your word is alive and active, and we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak into our lives through your word even right now. God, let your Holy Spirit just move in this place in a mighty way, Lord. It is my prayer, Father, that the words of my mouth would be yours, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father. And God, we're just going to trust you to lead us in the way that you would have us to go. Help us to say yes to you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, God, help us to say yes to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 5. I want to read for you the first 11 verses as we look at the calling of some of the first disciples that Jesus is connecting with here. And for some, this story may be kind of familiar, but I want you to. There's a part in this story that I think unlocks everything else, and that's really where I want to focus our attention today. So again, Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 11. All right, it says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He, Jesus, saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were," I'm going to add in there, "busy washing their nets." Verse 3. "He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon that we will later know as Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." So what I want you to see in this, and what the Lord kind of opened my eyes to in this, is that, well, let me kind of start at the end and go back. I think sometimes we see like verse 11, right? And we see where it says, Peter and James and John, like they were all like so in awe of what Jesus did. Like the experience they had was so unbelievable. So they pulled their boats up on shore and they left everything and followed him, right? Even kind of going back to last week, they just came before him with open hands and was like I'm just empty everything out, God. Like, Jesus, I'm following you. You put in my hands whatever you want, but I'm leaving everything else behind, right? And we can see Peter and James and John, and see these disciples that followed Jesus like that. And sometimes we can see that and think to ourselves, oh, I could never do that. There's no way I could just abandon everything. Like that is a level of faith that I think is awesome. I think it's amazing that Peter did that. I think it's amazing that they experienced that. But I can't imagine a world or a life in which I'm able to take a step of abandonment for Jesus like that, right? But if we really kind of think about it, if you kind of trace the steps of the story backwards, I think we begin to see that Peter wasn't there either, right? Like, he didn't start there either. Where it started was that Peter was busy cleaning his nets, right? And here comes Jesus, and he's teaching people like crazy, and they're all like, oh, this is amazing, and all that kind of stuff, right? And so Peter, like, sees the paparazzi of people that are following Jesus, and obviously he's obviously close enough to hear what's being said, since Jesus got in his boat after all, right? And so he's like, he's hearing all this stuff, but all the time is busy doing the work that he's got to do. I mean, after all, the guy's been up all night long. He's probably defeated and deflated because the one thing he's supposed to be able to do, he didn't do very well that night, right? And so here he is. I would imagine, like, again, it's, you always want to be careful about, like, reading yourself into a story or whatever, but I can just, like, if that was me, like, and I'm Peter, like, I'm not just washing my nets, but I'm, like, mad at the nets for not catching fish, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, it doesn't say that Peter was mad at the nets, but if I'm washing those nets, I'm like, I can't believe you're here all night, didn't catch a single fish, you gotta be kidding me, right? Maybe if he's really good Jewish person, he might even blame God for it, right? God, how could you let this happen? I'm out here, I gotta feed my family, now I gotta clean these nets, and I didn't even catch a fish, right? And in the midst of that, Jesus out here teaching all these people, and he again, I just want to make sure that I'm saying this to you right. Verse 3, it says that Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and then asked him to put out a little from shore. That would be like after service, me going out in the parking lot and getting in your car and then saying, hey, can you take me home? Shouldn't that be the other way around? Like, I mean, Jesus, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's Jesus, right? He's kind of rude sometimes, though, if you think about it. He's not, his manners are not always the best, right? But he gets in the boat and he's like, bro, like, I need to be out there. Can you help me with this? And Peter, in the midst of all of his net washing, in the midst of his unsuccessful fishing night and now having to wash the nets busyness, set the nets down. Actually, no, what he did was he took those nets that were clean and he threw them in the boat with them, right? Like, if I'm him, I'm leaving the nets on shore because I want those things to dry out. I want to make sure that when I get back, I don't have anything else to do, right? He throws the nets in the boat with him and off they go. Now watch this. Because Peter took the time to interrupt his busyness, he was able to hear the word of God in a way that absolutely captivated his heart, right? Because he allowed the time to interrupt his busyness, he was able to obey the leading of Jesus in that moment to actually push the boat out, right? And even to let the nets back down again, right? Which again, if you think about it, like, again, there's so many funny things about this story. Like, here he just gets done cleaning the nets, which again, if for me, like, the nets are just the symbol of failure in Peter's life right there. Like, how in the world could you not catch a single thing? Like, you're a terrible fisherman, apparently, right? And now I just got done cleaning the object of my unsuccessful life, and you're telling me to throw them back in the water so that I have to clean the object of my unsuccessful life again? Are you kidding me, right? And yet he did, right? He, in that moment, allowed his busyness that would come from having to clean those nets all over again. He allowed that space to actually see the miracle of God in front of him, right? Because he allowed that space, he then even invited others into the miracle-working presence of God. Like, he's calling James and John, like, y'all, come on, my nets are breaking. Like, you ain't gonna believe what God is doing, right? And so he's actually, like, not only is he seeing the miracles, he's inviting other people in to experience the manifestation of what God is doing in Christ right there. He even was so overwhelmed by the holiness of God that he was convicted by it in his heart, right? Like, oh, like I can't be in your presence. This is crazy. And then finally, he heard that call to the mission of God, to which he submitted himself before Jesus and abandoned everything and followed him. But what we need to see here is it didn't start with the abandoning everything for Jesus. It started with a guy who was disappointed washing his nets that got in that gave Jesus the space to do something, right? See, we can get so busy sometimes that we don't allow Jesus the space to do things in our lives, right? Maybe the reason why we're not, like, selling everything and going after Jesus, maybe the reason we're not abandoning all else and going after him is because 12 steps before that, we weren't creating the space to be with Jesus in order that we might hear the word, in order that we might experience the word, in order that we might follow the leading of God, to see the miracles of God, to invite other people in, to hear the call to surrender, in order that we might be in a position to abandon everything and go after him. Maybe the reason that we don't see the steps of faith that we really want to take in our lives is because we're not creating the space in our lives to slow down and just be with him. Right? It can be so easy for us to see other people and think, oh, man, their faith is just... My faith could never be like that. When the reality is that those people that you're looking at most of the time have just created space for Jesus to do things in their lives that we are too busy, quote unquote, too busy to create in our lives. They're not different than us. They're not more spiritually elite, right? They're just creating space and they're saying yes to the Lord when he speaks into their lives. So what can we do to really slow down and to create some space for Jesus? Well, there's a lot of different things we can do, first of all, and I have a feeling that even as we're talking about this, you probably already have some things in your mind that are like, oh yeah, I know there's some stuff in my life that doesn't have anything to do with following Jesus or being changed by Jesus or being on mission with Jesus. And the reality is I probably need to reevaluate how I'm using that time in order that I really could create space for Jesus to do some crazy awesome stuff in my life, right? But let me just throw out some like what I would refer to as like stupid practical stuff. Like what I mean by that is like when you hear it, it's like, well, yeah. But we don't do it, so then it's like, well, no, right? First one, go to bed. Go to bed, right? Like, this is going to sound weird. No, not for me. We did the whole sermon on how sleep is spiritual, like, it really is. Like, you go back, check the sermon. I got a whole 30 minutes on it, probably 40, to be honest with you. But unless you are praying, in which case I encourage you to stay up all night, right? If you're gonna be up all night with your eyes glazed over doing anything, make sure it's talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. right? But if your eyes are glazed over doing anything else, usually with your thumb or your finger or whatever, right? Just go to bed. Just go to bed. There was a book that I read. I think it was called Extreme Ownership, and it was written by a Navy SEAL. And there was a comment in there that he had made that there's nothing you're gonna do like after 9 o'clock that's gonna be more productive than it would be in the morning. Most of the time, not everybody. I know there are 8 people out there right now. It's like, Pastor, I do so much better work at night. I'm not, okay, slow down. I get there's night people, there's day people. But I also know that most of us waste a lot of time before we go to bed thinking that's, and then we wonder why we have trouble sleeping and all that kind of stuff too, right? That's a whole other thing I don't want to get into right now. But just go to bed, wake up in the morning, and start your day with the Lord. Which leads me to the next one, by the way, and that is, don't pick up your phone until you've read your Bible and pray to God. I mean, think about it, right? Like, why are you picking up your phone, right? Because you're interested in knowing what's going on. I mean, do you really need to be entertained that early in the morning, right? Come on, right? What if instead you actually, like, committed yourself to reading your Bible and having a conversation with God where you spoke to him and he spoke to you before you actually picked up your phone, right? Now, here's what's interesting with that. Because there's 2 different ways you can do that, right? You can wake up and while you're in bed, be like, Dear Lord, please help me today. Amen. Okay, and we'll get out and read a verse. Okay, now I can look at my phone. Praise God, right? And then it's like you relax once the phone comes out, right? Right? Like, we really need to ask ourselves, what is it that we are rushing to? What is it that our hearts are really rushing to be a part of? What is it that, do our hearts actually long to be in God's Word? Like, do we wake up like, oh, I can't wait to get my Bible out. Oh, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to say to me today. Or we wake up like, oh, Lord, I'm just so thankful you got me through the night. God, I need you to work in these areas. God, I just thank you so much. Are we rushing into the presence of God or are we rushing through the presence of God in order that we can get in the presence of nonsense for the rest of our day, right? We just need to really look at ourselves in that regard. Like, what is it that we are literally setting first in our lives, and what does that say about our lives, right? Ooh, Pastor Don gone from preaching to meddling here. The third thing. Let me get through these here. Is I think it's really, really important that we set some healthy work boundaries as well. I think Sabbath is a really, really good biblical principle that I do recognize, most of which is contained within the Old Testament, and so that, you know, there's all kinds of different discussion in regard to, oh, well, that was part of the law, so we don't need to do that now. But I think there's something about how God just wired us and how important it is not only just to take a break but to actually enjoy what you have, right? Like, one of the things that I do that is just absolutely ridiculous sometimes is I'll Beth will, let me be clear about this. Beth will spend time making a great meal, right? If I'm making it, it's just heating up something. Let's be honest. It's not cooking anything. Beth will spend time making a great meal, and I will rush through eating it in order to get to something else. I don't even enjoy what I have, right? And that's just in regard to food, right? Let alone with my marriage or with my kids or whatever. Like, I find myself in these different environments and these different times and everything, and then I rush through these things and I don't even enjoy what God has blessed me with. Like, God is making a way in my life. Like, he has made it so that my hands are not actually empty. Even as I submit myself before him, it's like I have these things here and I'm just rushing through the manifestation of his blessing in my life. Amen. And that's really the idea of Sabbath is. It's a matter of creating space in order to be able to enjoy every way that God has blessed us. Yes. Right? Yes, and so I would really encourage, like, even in your work schedule and that kind of stuff, try to establish a Sabbath or just some healthy work-life boundaries there so that you can, again, create that space for Jesus to be able to speak into your life and change some things there. I need to get moving here. All right, the fourth one then, I started this thing over sabbatical because, again, every illustration I use has to be over sabbatical, right? It's called Daily Office. If you've never read Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro, really highly recommend that. In there, he talks about this daily office. It's basically the idea of creating, I actually have alarms on my phone. It went off at 10 o'clock this morning. It's going to go off again at 2 o'clock this afternoon and at 6 o'clock tonight every single day. And in those times, I have a scripture that I read from my daily Bible reading that morning. And I'm going to go and I'm going to read that scripture. I'm going to sort of meditate on that scripture three extra times throughout the day. And what that does for me is it just helps ground me in the fact that God is present in what I'm doing, right? When I'm here running around talking to people and, you know, all the stuff that I got to get ready or whatever, I'm able to read that scripture and ground myself into what God is doing in my life right now. This afternoon and whatever it is that I'm in, this evening, same deal. I would really encourage you to do something similar to that. I'm pretty sure your phone has the alarm function on it as well, right? If it doesn't, find somebody my age or younger and they can find it for you. And just set up some basic, just an alarm, right? That just says, like read your Bible, right? And it doesn't have to take an hour, right? And it doesn't even have to be scripture. It could just be a matter of you take a couple of minutes to just stop and pray and just acknowledge the presence of God and thank Him for being there, right? It has been really helpful for me to just sort of ground myself in the fact that God is real and present even in my everyday stuff, right? And so maybe that's a way that you can kind of create some space too. The main thing is just do something. Just do something. What we know, pretty confidently is that what we're doing in terms of the busyness of our lives is not, it's not healthy, right? It's not helpful many times. And so we just need to take a step, right? So I would just challenge you to take a step, to think about what's one thing that you could do this week or even today that would be a step toward slowing down in order that you might open yourself up to the presence of Jesus, that you could hear His word, be changed by His word, be encountered by the mission of Christ, engage with that mission and follow with Him in it. Like in order that when He calls you to submit to Him in crazy ways, you're ready to just abandon all else because you know that He is speaking, right? We just need to create the space for Him to speak into our lives. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. There's two questions that I really want you to think about for me today. One is, what is it that you're so busy doing that isn't a priority to Jesus, right? It was not a priority to Jesus that Peter was washing the nets. Now, here's what's really interesting about it. Peter never washed the nets a second time. Think about it. He brought those nets up on shore and he left them there. Those nets are still dirty, right? Many times we convince ourselves that we're going to be so busy doing all these different things when the reality is if we just open ourselves up to what Jesus might be wanting to speak into our lives, those things might not even be present in our lives when we submit ourselves to Him. Those things might not even be there if we just slow down enough to just listen to Him, right? So what are the things that are a priority to you that just aren't a priority to Jesus? What are the things that we're wasting our time in that just aren't a priority to Jesus? And let me say this differently too, because wasting time makes it sound like those things are all negative. Not everything that we're busy doing is negative, but not everything we're busy doing needs to be a priority in our lives. Yeah. And not all those things are a priority to Jesus, right? So what is it that we're busy doing that isn't a priority to Jesus? The second question then, which I've already asked you once already, is just what's one step you can take? What's one thing that you can do to move in the right direction, right? I have this little blue Toyota Yaris, right? You can find it right now parked out in the parking lot. It's probably all by itself out there. And one of these days, this car is going to be Liliana's, and she can't wait to have it, right? She's super excited about it. And right now, there is some sort of issue with it that when you turn it on, it starts, but it's like, it needs a little convincing, right? Right? I would make the noise for you, but it's weird. Anyway, it just takes it, like, for you, when you start your car, like, you hit the button, it starts, right? For mine, it's like, it sounds like some of you, like, when you're going to get up here in a minute, right? It just takes a few minutes to get the groans out, you know? No offense or anything. I didn't mean that like that. That came out. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Father. No, but you know, hey, but you know what I mean, right? You might not have liked it, but you know what I mean, right? Anyway, the car kind of sounds like that. And it has sounded like that for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now, I think. Like, probably longer than that now that I'm thinking about it. And I know it needs fixed, but it's not actually, like, all the way broke, right? I mean, the car does start most of the time. There's only been a couple of times where it just sort of puts out and you got to start it again. And then it goes right away, whatever. And every time that, like, there's this waiting for it to start, Liliana's praying, Lord, just let it die. Let it die. Right? Let it die. Let it die. But I'm too busy to go get it fixed. Like, I got stuff to do, right? I got things. Like, I don't have time to go get my car fixed, right? But it's interesting because when the van was in San Antonio on IYC and the transmission went out and it wouldn't run anymore, we found time to get it fixed. Isn't that weird? I was too busy to fix the thing that's actually probably going to be fairly simple, I hope. Please pray for me. But the thing that was absolutely a deal breaker on the van, like we found time to fix it. See, our lives are just like that. The reality is we're not too busy. We're just not making things a priority that need to be a priority, right? And so as we're going to sing a song here, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand with me. I really want you to think about, like, what are those priorities? That was, thank you, Lord. That's exactly what the car sounds like, by the way. That is exactly it. We really need to think about, like, what are those things that are a priority in our lives? What are we actually fixing and what are we ignoring, hoping that just someday it'll get better all by itself? Well, the reality is it won't get better all by itself. We've got to submit ourselves to Jesus. We've got to create space. So how is it that you will do that today? Maybe you just recognize today that you've been trying to just make it work on your own this whole time. And you realize today the only way that your life can be different is if you submit yourself to Jesus, right? And if that's you, like, I want to pray with you and let you know that, like you can be a Jesus follower before you leave here today, right? It's a matter of acknowledging before God, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Like, I know I'm not fixing it. I know it's not. I've not put you as a priority in my life and I need to do that. It's a matter of believing that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life and confessing before Him that He is your Savior and Lord. I would love to pray with you. If you would like to make that decision today, you just come and find me right down here. I would love to pray with you in that. Maybe you have somebody right next to you that you just want to pray with to say, you know what, I know that X, Y, and Z are not a priority in life, and A, B, and C should be, and I just want you to be praying with me. Whatever it is, however God is leading you today, I want you just to say yes to Him as we sing together.